The footies on Triple M.
Sunday.
This is one of those days.
The day of rest.
When you wake up.
The time for reflection.
The birds are chirping.
To take stock.
You're smelling the clippings off the lawn.
Except on Triple M. This is the Sunday Run for McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Footy on a Sunday, that'll give you a lift as we lead up to the Gold Coast Suns taking on the GWS Giants. Leon Cameron, the coach of the GWS, will join us in about 45 minutes' time. Jay-Z's Big Three, the hot topics, the quiz, so much more to get through. I look around the room, the captain of the ship is here, as always, Ducky Boy. Sun shining in Melbourne, obviously where we're calling the footy at the moment. How are you, Guru?
Absolutely magnificent day in Melbourne, as it was yesterday, but unfortunately we're not going to get to enjoy it in the next few days. But I've actually put a trampoline together this morning.
Did you, Duck?
No, actually I had someone come over.
Of course you did.
Yeah, it was very good.
So, did you have a jump on it yourself?
No, I haven't been on it yet, but actually a friend of mine got the same tramp 2 weeks ago and thought they'd put it together. Theirs is still not put together and mine's already up.
Are the kids jumping?
Yes, they are.
Was it a birthday or was it just a nice little gift?
Just a lockdown gift.
Well, we will keep you across. Apparently, the Premier of Victoria, if you're in Melbourne and Victoria, is speaking about 45 minutes' time. We'll keep you across that. The coach is here as always. Hello, Roscoe.
Howie, how are you? Great to be here. Great to hear about Ducks' assembling capabilities at home and highlights the power of the dollar. So, yeah, but I'm looking forward to today's game. The sun shining through. Should be great. Gold Coast emerging and GWS trying to awaken.
The star forward of the team is here. Hello, Noodles.
Very good to be here, Howard. I too have done that, Duck. I've put together a trampoline about 5 years ago now. I'm in the market for a new one, so I've been looking at Vully. So if you're out there, Vully, I'm looking for a new one. But, Howard, things can't be that bad. I mean, I walk down the street, the sun is out, and I saw a guy walking down the street, happy as Larry. He had a Big M, right? A Big M, not a 600 mil one. He had a 2 litre.
Oh, the big 2 litre.
2 litre one, just walking down the street, swigging the Big M. He was happy as Larry.
Was he letting it sort of run down his face solo style?
I thought him, that is a comfortable man in his own skin.
Jay Clark is here. Hello, Clarky. Nice to see you.
Howie, good to see you, mate. 2 years ago, I put together the trampoline, underground one. See, one you have to dig.
Oh.
Really big hole, like 5 metres by 3 metres and about 2 metres deep. Oh. Backyard clay, so hard to dig. I dug it, took me a day. It's 3 o'clock, I crack a beer, I stand on the shovel, look at my wife, say, look, beautiful, dug it. She said, you've dug it in the wrong spot. I had to
No!
She said, you'd need to move it, it's in the wrong spot. And I'm like, surely this will do. No, two days of silence.
Surely just hand it over the shovel.
Yeah. I'm glad you're not the type of bloke that works in the cemetery, Jay-Z. Jay-Z.
Matty Allen, who yes. the great Carlton ruck.
Yeah.
Carlton got him a job when he first got down there at the Blues as a grave digger. So obviously back then it was the mid-90s, I think. Obviously everybody still worked. Him and Ben Harrison, who went on to Richmond, were given jobs as grave diggers. So one day Harrow's standing there digging the grave, he looks over, and Matty Allen's asleep on one of them.
Real sort of dead-end job, that one, too, Noodles. Hey, we're a team here, Ross, so I'm going to need your assistance here, and you, Duck. Jay-Z was involved in a massive expose last week where he named the top 100 paid players.
Yes.
Now, it'd be fair to say, Brownie, our man has had a tough week, and he stuck to his guns, but he got criticised by the playing group, it'd be fair to say.
He did. There was a fair amount of people out there, Jay-Z, who were questioning accuracy.
Well, Max Gorn had a real crack at you. I think the man in charge of the Players Association had a crack at you. Mitch Robinson, he had a crack at you as well. They were lining up.
The truth hurts, Jay-Z.
700 players.
Well, that's right. And our man, we're sticking by him. But what has happened, Ross, he's had a real low week. He's had a real flat week. So just imagine, he's come into the playing group. He's played 4 bad games in a row, and he's about to play again on a Sunday big stage, and you need to speak to him, Ross. And this is where you as a coach sort of take over as in charge of this team. You've got to get our man up because he's had a tough week.
He's on the edge of going back to the waffle as well.
Yeah, he is.
But he thought he had a BOG.
No, but he has, but he's copped it. He's copped it in the media all week.
Oh, welcome to my world. Oh, a week. I had it for 13 years.
Look,
you've got to build some resilience. Teflon, get in the car and giggle at him.
Well, I said this on the Dead Set Legends yesterday, but what do you call when you're playing poker and one person goes all chips in? And then you think you're holding a pretty decent hand, and then I go all chips in, Brownie. What do you call that? Is there a name for that? Or
called a stalemate.
It's a push, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
You're going to see who
It's called all.
When the tide goes out, you're going to see who's got the car, who's wearing bathers, and who's not.
Exactly. So when the tide goes out, you're going to see who's wearing bathers.
Hang on.
All the players are nude.
Go on, keep going, coach.
We got through to about Wednesday.
Yeah.
And I thought we may have got away with this. And then the phone sort of blew up after it blew up like a Christmas tree, lit up like a Christmas tree after he dropped his little podcast. Not one I normally listen to, but I'll tune in next week. And it's fair to say that Gorney's having a total lend, if I'm being truthful, because in his podcast he said, and I've gone back and checked the numbers, obviously, he said he was on 650 grand. Mm. We got it wrong by 250. So that puts him on 650. Now, if that's the case, then you would be a little bit grumpy because you're in the worst deal in the AFL. This is a bloke who was the best player in the competition.
He's doubling down.
I thought this was a lighthearted discussion.
I thought it was an apology.
I thought maybe there was an apology coming.
Go harder.
In 2018, yes. he was the best player in the competition as decided by the coaches, the AFL-CA Best Player Award. So he's the number one player in the competition. He's saying on 650, he's the 80th paid player in the competition. I know that because I know all the bands and how many players earn how much. So he's saying he's earned 80. Now, the problem here is that he's talking about apples and I'm talking about oranges because he's referring to his base contract only. I'm talking about some incentives, All Australian, Best and Fairest,
ASA,
a very healthy additional service.
Can I just say the additional service thing's completely different.
Yep.
When you get to that level,
yep.
They don't have Best and Fairests. They don't have All Australians.
He does.
You're expected to make those teams when you're one of the best players in the comp.
Duck, he does. I've checked it before it went to pub, before it published, and
well,
since.
I know, I'm a good friend of Macca's, not that I've spoken to him a lot lately. G'day, Macca. Anthony McConville's his manager.
Yep.
He's doing a shies and hows and job.
No, but that's the thing. I think Gorney's just, I don't know if he's trying to defer the attention from Ken Wood or the tax man, but if. He's saying he's on 650, and it's just not true.
Well, he said he's got in trouble from his wife because she thought he was hiding a little bit.
On 300 on a rainy day.
Yeah.
So 900 you've got him at.
If I had my time again, I'd have him at 5860.
I'd be flabbergasted if after that season when you were talking about and he dominated, that he has signed a deal for 650. Yeah. That doesn't sound right to me.
So you're backing our man?
I'm backing our man Jay-Z Clark in.
Well, he's... three-time All-Australian. He was All-Australian before he did the...
We've heard enough of the details. Okay. I enjoy the details.
Who else cracked it?
No, that he was...
Mitch?
Well, what did Paul Marsh say?
Well, he said we got one in four right?
That's not bad for a journey.
That's probably what I expect. No,
but this is...
not on this one, though.
Very funny. This is the thing.
Hang on. I'm having a joke with you, mate. Come on.
I know. Yeah. This is the thing, right? With all the salaries... we undershot him, except for probably Max and a couple of others. 80% of them, we undershot him by 50 grand to avoid this exact issue, basically. So we were conservative, right?
I went through. They all looked about right.
Of course. Yeah. So, for example, just say Mark Howard's on 710 and we knew he was on 710. We would have him 650 to 7 just to try and avoid this sort of thing. Max Gorn was the least of my worries. I didn't lose any sleep over him at all. So then that one... is incorrect, isn't it? Because he's on 710 and we've had him 650 to 7. So
you're sticking by your guns?
A lot of that.
Okay.
Don't let him worry you, mate. Don't let him wobble you.
That's your advice you're giving him here, Ross? Just stick strong?
You know what, son? You know what you're about, gang? Keep playing your role.
Thank you.
How'd you go this week when the phone was lighting up and you're under the pump and you became part of the story, which is not what men of your and my stature in the world want to be?
It was only really media people who were calling me. So... when you get the text messages, it's if you don't know. You know, like, I got it about 10 times. Oh, Max Gorn just had a big crack at it. No, I got that, mate. I got that about an hour ago. So there was a bit of that sort of stuff.
I rang our man Brownie.
Yeah.
And I felt that he thought I was his counsellor ringing up and he needed to get out of the couch. I wasn't sure he was going to be here on Sunday. He was. Anyway, we move on.
Like Ross said, you've got to harden up. Now, I'll ask you a quick question. We do a top five on a Friday night on the Friday huddle. How do you reckon the football media world would go if I did a top five earners in football media?
I think you should definitely do that.
It's coming this Friday.
Do you reckon there'd be some blow-ups?
Can I help you with that?
Yeah, but the other thing with the media will be saying,
I need to blame someone.
The media will be going, I'm on more than that.
Yeah, give you a tip. I'm not in it, Brownie. Our man across here in the white top in the centre, our forward ducky might be.
I just fly just nicely.
Hey, talking about flying nicely, a duck, your magnificent wife, Christina, has a wonderful company. If you need a candle, SOH Melbourne, they do a beautiful candle. And apparently...
That'd be my wife.
Yes, that's what I'm talking to you. Duck. Yeah. Well, it's hard to keep track with duck, to be completely honest. It's sometimes a little bit hard to keep track of duck's marital status at any particular day of the week. But your beautiful wife, Nathan... he's got an order this week that raised eyebrows.
Well, it did because she's doing the homeschooling at the moment, so I go in and I pack all the candles. And the great Wayne Carey name came up.
So he ordered some.
Because when somebody doesn't fill out the address properly, a little red light comes up. It's got an apostrophe in it as well. So you know that something's gone wrong here and you can't ship it out. And so I go in, and obviously Duck doesn't order a lot of stuff online because he's put Wayne Carey and the address on the one line.
Oh, come on, Duck.
And then he's come down to the suburb and he's put, not even his own suburb where he lives in, he's put in Melbourne, but he's written Melb, M-E-L-B.
Well, and everyone knows what Melb is.
The system just couldn't quite figure out what it meant. And then I dug further into it and it said, Wayne Carey. Now, the address label, Duck, you can confirm
the reason why.
Underneath, there's a little part called the company. You can put your company. Oh. And in the company spot, it said the king.
There's a reason why I put my name down to those things. Normally, I don't. Like, for instance, my Uber's under Duck. Uber Eats and all that is just under Duck, not my name. But sometimes when you're ordering stuff, you put your name because you get some extras.
Oh, right.
I thought if Jess put her name, I just thought, make sure that you put your name.
Wrong company, obviously.
Did you get any extra candles?
You know what? Thank you very much.
Are they nice?
We got a little bonus. Lovely. They've been burning ever since we got them.
But the other thing that I did give him was a code. So, you know, you can have codes that you enter when you get to the checkout, would have got him 40% off. He didn't even use it.
Doesn't need to. Before we move on, Jay-Z's Big Three next. Nate, you came in, you've come straight from the Sunday Footy Show where you are working with the movers and shakers, and you said to me something that I think we need to bring up. I'm going to distance myself from it, but you gave your life now, Cobber.
It was a little discussion this morning we had before the Sunday Footy Show because the Herald Sun were talking about Melbourne and their woes at the moment, and they put in a little line at the bottom there. And obviously with Ross Lyon waiting in the wing somewhere, they'd want to get their act together. And that surprised me.
I'm already getting
a bad look.
This is an ambush. All right, we're on it.
Look at Howard distant himself.
I don't want anything to do with it. So what you're saying is that you reckon Ross is the next in line.
The Herald Sun has gone with that Ross is waiting in the wing. He's a coach waiting in the wings, and they need to obviously be careful.
Jay, this is your antenna. This is your
boy. Your wheelhouse.
Howie is that scared to refer to Ross?
Because I know he's going to coach again and I'm going to have to interview him and it could get awkward.
No, that's not happening.
It's not fair. Well, I haven't read that part, Brownie, but I look forward to that.
I've got some advice for Simon.
Go on.
Just instigate an inquiry.
Into?
Well, their performance, not unlike the state of Victoria, then you don't have to answer any questions until the end of the season.
Yeah, to me, that's a Clarko deflection. That's a man not wanting to answer your question, Nathan. Ask him the question again that you wanted to ask.
Feel free, Nathan. We go back a long way.
We've already asked him a couple of times this year. If the right job came up, Ross, would you be coaching AFL football next year or the year after?
Highly unlikely. I'm really enjoying the Sunday rub.
That's nice.
You mightn't be enjoying me. No, we are. But as long as I can. I think I've maybe got a 2-year
window
in the media before.
You're telling me you enjoy hanging out with us so much on a Sunday that you're going to put your coaching career on hold.
Well, the soft cap's been really reduced, so I'm not sure AFL football and myself fit
anymore. Coaches get paid very, very well, Howard.
Right.
The media is a smaller industry these days. Wages would be coming down, I would have thought, in most. Mm. But the one wage that is pretty good is an AFL coach's wage. And your good mate, Paul Ruse, always said that he wasn't going to come back to coaching, and then he coached Melbourne.
Well, Melbourne backed the truck up, didn't they? So, look, I just think I'm very not protective of coaches, but you want them to have the best opportunity. And you've got to judge them on capabilities. And I think there's been enough disjointedness in the season to give coaches some level of alibi, I suppose. But Melbourne have been very good the previous 2 weeks. I think we're all on them. But I think it's a wider discussion, the president coming out. He's obviously expectation is higher.
So how are you feeling if your president comes out and says that?
You're feeling a little bit of heat.
Are you?
You're feeling a little bit of heat. But you're on notice. But what I liked about it, like I didn't like it in its general, but it wasn't just directed at Simon. It was his coaching panel. It was the football department. It was the list. It was, and I think when you go that wide, well, that should galvanise them and they should respond.
Clarkie, how does that work? Just with those comments that the president of Melbourne made. Who wrote that article?
John Ralph, very good comment.
So is that just ringing up and trying to get a quote and then thinking, oh, wow, what's happening here? Or how does something like that take place?
Yeah, I think it was a good inquiry from John. It was a great story. You want to go to the top part of the club to get an idea about the feeling and the direction and what they're gonna do. For me, what was really interesting is that sort of come a little bit, I know he's the president, but it come a little bit from outside the tent. The tent is up there in Queensland with the players and the coaches, and they got their sleeves up and they didn't go, well, when you get the grenade come in from the Toorak, I think that can go one or two ways. Let's have a listen to what Bernie Vince said about that on Triple M yesterday.
I'd be filthy as a player because that's not his role. He shouldn't be saying that, those sort of comments. It's up to the coaches and the coaching staff to give you feedback on how you played. And no doubt, they'd be very disappointed. But it's not the chairman's role. And I'm sure, and I haven't spoken to any of the players, but they would be filthy with that.
Would you be, Duck?
I don't think, as a player, when, you know, if someone that, I don't, it sort of goes in one ear and out the other. You understand whether you self-analyse, you know whether you're playing well as an individual or whether you're playing well as a team. You hear it from them. I don't mind that.
They're the apex of the club. Hmm. And there's times I've had conversations with players, say there's some issues. I said, well, that's okay. Why don't we just ring the president up, organise a time, and you can go and tell him the reason why you're doing this. Hmm. And then they go, oh. Because, you know, we all answer to the president and the board, ultimately, and the fans. So I think it's the apex, and I just think he's never done it before. He's been supportive, but he said, now's the time, enough, no excuses, let's get working. Yeah. I don't mind it.
Goody would be, I think, no doubt.
Goody would be what?
He would be disappointed. I have no doubt about that.
With Bartlett.
But the players, yeah. Yep. But the players, I don't think
he said
really.
It's an un-Melbourne-like performance, and for me watching, it's purely a Melbourne like performance, the fact that they've been very good and then all of a sudden they cough up a game. Not cough up, they were just uncompetitive in that game from pretty much the first minute. It reeked of the way Melbourne play footy.
He said that they embarrassed the jumper. The players embarrassed the jumper. That's a big comment to make.
It's time now, though, for...
This is Jay-Z's Big Three.
What do you got, Big Daddy?
Well, Nathan Buckley wouldn't be feeling amazing this morning. It's fair to say he played a game of tennis with his good mate Brennan Sanderson, assistant coach, and Alicia Molik, Australian tennis player, and another friend, and it's cost him a pretty penny, hasn't it? Now, I think we all understand that this was a big mistake in terms of the whole COVID situation, and you sort of wonder, well, how did Nathan Buckley, as a senior coach, not know the rules, which I think is a fair point. But I think the really awkward part of this was what the president, Eddie Maguire, said only a day before about what the next person who stuffed up should suffer.
Well, I think the people who breached the protocol should be fined personally, to be honest. The great Australian tradition, as we're seeing right through society at the moment, is, okay, there's a rule, but it doesn't apply to me. That rule book is not how do we get around every rule. That's the rule book you live by. And if you don't like it, we'll arrange for you to go home.
Arrange for you to go home. Now, as it turns out, it's his own senior coach who's made the next blue. He's not going home. He's coaching the Collingwood Football Club tonight. Do we think that's all fair, or should he be on the first bird back, Duck?
No, he shouldn't be on the first. He's made a mistake. What does surprise me is how he could make that mistake. The players know they're not even allowed to get into an Uber. So, you know, I'm surprised Bucks, he's made it. Tennis, by the way, I don't see the problem with playing a game of tennis anyway.
He'd already had clearance to play with Brenton Sanderson previous too, so that's what he said. He thought it was okay. That's when Alicia Molik came in, and that's where the problem was.
But I will say this. If Bucks can get it wrong, we all know Bucks, we all respect Bucks, then how in hell are we going to expect all these young footballers to get it right?
With their families,
with their
wives
families
and girlfriends.
And everything else. I mean, we really are setting them up
point.
For failure.
It's A, how onerous they are, greater than the community restrictions in Perth after they've quarantined, but how important it is for the game to try and survive and continue this year. So you don't envy them at all. But if Bucks can get it wrong, good luck. 45 players and partners and kids.
When was the game of tennis?
It was Thursday morning, I believe, because he went on radio and said, I added a tit of tennis yesterday.
Who won?
Not sure. We'll get to that.
They're such, Clarkey, they are such small mistakes yep. that are being made, like a trip to a beauty parlor, a game of tennis. Like, you know, you've lived your life for 45 years a certain way. It's hard to, but the problem, I guess, is there's such small mistakes, but they could potentially, if Alicia was COVID positive, have enormous ramifications. And that's where the problem becomes, isn't it? Because it's a tiny mistake.
So but, so what do you think then, Howie? You're the moral police around here.
Am I? Okay. It's nice to be bestowed upon. What's your question?
What do you think? Do you think the fine fits the crime, or what do you think should happen?
Oh, yeah, just a fine in line with the other fines, I think.
And he's paying it. Him and Sando are paying it.
Well, there's $250 million left on the table in the AFL season.
Yeah.
The games will be played. It's big money for the competition.
Oh, certainly, you don't stop him coaching or anything like that. You pay the fine and
move on. $50,000 half suspended, so 12 and a half each for Sando. So what's he going to say in his presser, Ross? Win, lose or draw tonight? What does he come out and say
after? I put my hand up. I made a mistake. But Nathan wouldn't have put his hand up too many times because he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. That's why he's senior coach Collingwood Football Club. They're making prelims and grand finals. He'll adjust and get it right. But there's someone, there's a like a COVID officer within your club that you're getting permission off to do it. So somewhere it's been acquiesced and ticked off. Mm. I think that's the question.
Yep. Mm. Well, it is certainly going to be an interesting issue. I'm with you, Duck. I don't think it'll be the last time someone stuffs up. Second offence for a club is the best part of a $100,000 fine. Third offence for a club is loss of premiership points and potentially draft picks. So it gets real severe.
Is the reason why you're not allowed to play tennis because they both handle the balls? Is that the reason why?
The handling the balls, contact over the net, you're in a small space with someone.
What do you mean contact over the net?
Well, you know, you
high five.
You know, high five.
You don't
or
make contact over the net.
Yeah, but you know, at the end of the game.
You just don't high five.
But what's interesting,
all to do with the balls, touching the balls, isn't it?
It's ultra conservative. Yeah, that'd be part of it.
But isn't Perth functioning? Well, there's 30,000 at the footy. But the kids are playing netball, football. The AFL community's open.
But the players are under
different rules.
It's a tightened bubble. Hey, moving on. St Kilda defender Jake Carlisle is in hot water again for trying to swipe at or slap the broken hand of Dane Rampey, the Gun Sydney defender, yesterday. Now, quite clearly, Jake Carlisle will get a fine for misconduct. We know that you can't do this. You can't go out to deliberately hurt an injured player. What are you boys laughing at?
What's your pronunciation on something?
Sorry.
It's a bad look for the game.
Your pronunciation on something.
What did I say, Jake?
Ross.
I'd just move on if I was you. Jake, I'll stuff that up. Am I right? Jake Carlisle.
Move on. If you're his coach, Ross,
move on.
If you're his coach, what do you say to Jake Carlisle after that?
Look, I've seen the replay.
Yep.
I was disappointed. Mate, what are you doing? Embarrassing yourself. If you're that heated, get in a fair dinkum. Mm. I know. I think Wayne's best to talk. I haven't played for a long time. Player heat of the moment. Is that the response you do? If you're that frustrated.
It's not sportsmanlike. It's not sportsmanlike. I mean, the old adage, you know, when you cross the white line. But if it's something like that, or if, you know, for instance, if you've just come back from a shoulder reco, Gary Ablett's a great example that, you know, come back in recent times from a shoulder reco, and you run in and bump his shoulder. You know what? You physically hit that shoulder when you're going for a mark, when you're actually tackling him. But to go outside of in play is just a bad look, and I don't like it.
It was uncomfortable viewing, wasn't it?
It's the second time that something's happened with him that's been sort of a little bit off kilter. He had the Mark Murphy thing a couple, was it last season or the season before as well? So then you've got this one as well. So and then the Snapchat thing years before that.
It's just a bad. It's not.
Yeah,
not,
no, I think I think it's a shocking look. What did you say to Stevie Baker when he went at Steve Johnson all those years ago, Ross?
I mean, Steve wasn't injured, was he? Was that after Stevie elbowed him in the head? Or?
Stevie Johnson had the hand,
yeah,
and then Baker went after him. Yeah,
yeah, but there's a that's a massive lead up. That was a personal war that went on for a long time, and that was after Stevie. And fair enough, Stevie
Johnson
was entitled to elbow him like he did. So, but if you're St Kilda, they're virtually on top of the ladder. Everything's going well. You're playing, mate, we don't need the distraction. And have a look at it. Are you comfortable watching this? How about you get your act together?
It's not like you're going to get away with it. It's not like there's not going to be a camera on you at some stage. That's my view as the moral police, which I'm quite enjoying the role.
Can we just adjust your halo there?
Yeah. What's your third one, Clarkie? You going nicely?
Yeah. Thirdly is at North Melbourne. A huge selection statement. Probably the boldest coaching move of the year, clearly, to drop Jared Pollock and Ben Brown. Particularly Jared Pollock. He got 4 coaches' votes from David Teague in their clash against Carlton. He was dropped, and then North Melbourne come out and win inspirationally. Lots been said about Magic Door. It was an unbelievably uplifting moment. He's goal, and then when he come off the ground, given everything he's going through. But Brownie, what would you do if you reshore this week? Are you bringing either Ben Brown or Jared Pollock back in?
Look, they're clearly in their best 18. They're clearly probably in their best 10 players. I still think there's a massive role for Ben Brown to play. Jared Pollock, it just depends on injuries. You'd be loath to change a winning formula. They haven't won for a while, and they did win. Granted, it was against Adelaide, but it was a massive 10-goal victory. So you'd almost want to support the players that did play well and got the job done on that game. But I'd imagine if there was an injury and a change, they'd be the first two to come back in, because I still think they're in their top 10 players comfortably.
He's the most kick two forward in the game. 31% of the time they go to him, and it can be a strength and it can be also your greatest weakness, because players, they see he's a big guy. They kick to him when they shouldn't kick to him. They had 11 individual goal kickers yesterday. Mm. So all of a sudden, by the way, they were playing witch's hats.
Yeah.
So,
it was easy for them to enter the forward 50.
Well, they got the Cats next week. Easier to drop your best players, but I like the statement.
Yeah.
I like what he did. Pollock,
he did the same thing.
I thought the week before he was giving great effort. Clearly, there was some things in his game that they didn't like. But it could be preparation Monday to Friday. I mean, it could be about standards, and we've had enough. So it was a strong message to the group.
The Pollock one was interesting. 25 disposals in a shortened game and a goal and to get dropped.
He was on Cripps early, got beaten, went back to the wing after quarter time.
So who gave him the votes? Teague.
Yep. Teague, clearly. Yep.
Just on Magic Door, I was going to put him in the hot topics to come up next, but I watched that game, and obviously we all felt uplifted duck to see him out there playing, and we'll play some highlights in a moment as we go to the break, just to give you some love on a Sunday. But it struck me, it's the best way of saying this, how important sporting clubs are in our community, Ross, because this is a bloke that was in a very, very unsure position in the state of his life, Brownie, and he gets surrounded by a football club and he's all of a sudden got 70, 80 people to help him through in life. And I was just thinking, Nathan, I don't want to be too serious, but at the moment, a lot of us aren't being involved with the normal groups we're in. So if you are in a situation where you're normally going to footy training with a bloke or netball training or playing golf or whatever, and you know that he or she might be doing things a little bit tough and you know that over their history, maybe just jump on the phone at the moment, because here in Victoria, you can't play footy, you can't play netball, you can't play soccer, etc., and just give them a shout and just say, I hope things are going okay. That was what struck me from watching Magic yesterday. So well done to the entire North Melbourne Footy Club. It was no doubt my highlight of the season so far. This is how it took place yesterday with the Kangaroos.
This is a haul, I think. No, perhaps. Kicks to
Maggie.
Door, and Door takes the mark.
It's been 2 years since I played, and there's no better feeling than winning.
Oh, it's really pleasing for Madge to come out today. I think it's a really good result for our football club.
30 metres out, basically directly in front here, Matt Jack Door.
He's a big boy.
Big moment for him, a big moment for North.
That. I think as a coach and as a coaching staff, when you see Madge kick the goal and all the boys getting around him, that's genuine.
Deliberate set shot, got good control.
Oh, get around him!
He's got it. Leg it up from everywhere. Here they come.
I think over the past 2 years, the battles I've gone through, it's worth it. Winning with your teammates, my family at home watching.
Every North Melbourne player on the ground has got around him.
So to all our supporters, I hope this win means something to you.
Howie's Hot Topics.
All right. I'm very lucky in my part of the world.
I didn't read your text this morning.
Well, that's not going to make it very easy. Well, you have no problem with the first one. I am very, and I count myself very lucky, although it could be changing at the moment, where I live outside of the Melbourne lockdown, and I don't say this with any joy for the poor people that aren't able to do this. I can't have people around at my house at the moment, but I'm allowed to go to the pub still for a short period of time. Went to the pub last night. Nothing better to me. You get all your boutique beers. not my go, duck. Just a pot, not a pint, a pot, because a pint is far too much for me. Nathan, you know I'm not a big drinker. A pint actually mentally destroys me. Just a pot of Carlton Draft. For me, there is no better beer on the planet. Duck, if you can choose one beer.
I'm a Great Northern man at the minute.
Great Northern.
And I'm a mid-strength.
That's a mid-strength, isn't it?
The crisp. A crisp one.
Okay. Roscoe, if you can choose one beer.
Your corner.
Oh, yeah.
Got to have come out of a great glycol system, though, like ice cold.
Yeah.
At the Union Club, Gore Street. Yeah, just a pot. A pot, I can handle a pot.
A Carlton Draft.
Of Carlton.
Now, you'd be more a boutique man, wouldn't you?
I like the James Bogues, Howie. I do like when it's really cold, a cold pot of Vic Bitter, but certainly the James Bogues for me.
Clarkie?
I'm a Little Creatures pale ale man, Howie, but it's news.
Yeah, don't surprise me.
Just in.
Yeah.
Victoria. Dash of lemonade in that.
A Little Creatures pale ale. Mm. Beautiful. What's wrong with that?
What are you doing there?
Victoria will enter a state of disaster from 6 p.m. tonight. It has been reported 671 new COVID cases. In a summary of new restrictions for Melbourne, and I'm reading this as I speak, from today there will be a curfew 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. Exemptions only for work, caregiving, medical and compassionate reasons. That means stay absolutely in your house between 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. Still only four reasons to leave home. And there is changes to exercise. Maximum 1 hour daily within 5 kilometres of your home only and with only one other person. Shopping changes. Only one person per household per day within 5 kilometres of home or closest supermarket. So the new restrictions are in.
As of tonight.
As of tonight, 6 p.m. tonight. So,
all right, Clarkie, thank you.
Sorry.
We'll just continue to move along.
Thanks for that.
We'll still be on air.
Thanks for that, Downer.
I read an article in the paper. I haven't got the bloke's name. A young bloke trying to get drafted, kicked 117 goals in a under-11 season, Duck, and people were talking about him from a young age. Mm. We'll start with you, Brownie. What's the most goals you've ever kicked in a competitive football season from under eights all the way through to your senior years?
57.
57?
Yeah.
Who was that for?
The Bulldogs in 2002.
57. What about you, Ross, in your entire career?
Got no idea, Howie. No, didn't kick too many.
Right. Duck?
Well, I think it's 83.
83. Clarkie?
About 10, I reckon.
10, righto.
Howie?
I probably kicked about 41 year, I reckon. Mm. That wasn't a bad year. My beautiful wife...
By the way, you're getting probably the fifth best offender on you, Howie.
Oh, no, I got in the sixth.
he was loose in the foot.
They played me loose, Duck. There'd be three loose blokes in defence that'd still go near with you. My beautiful wife is listening at the moment, and she is, her favourite job is to put the wood when it gets delivered. She loves stacking it because I don't stack it neatly. Mm. I'm not a big man on chores. What is your least favourite chore at home, Nathan?
The least favourite chore, Howard, for me would be when the toilet paper gets down to the last little bit, replacing that. I sort of just leave it there and expect somebody else to do it.
It's not that big a chore to just sort of run around and... Yeah. What about you, Clarkie? What's your least favourite chore? Hey?
Vacuuming.
Vacuuming. Don't like vacuuming, Ross? Least favourite chore at home?
Putting the bins out.
Bins?
I'm the bin boy. And you know what? Everyone refuses to put the bin out. They just leave it there waiting for the bin boy to do it. And... it's not an enjoyable...
No one likes putting the bins out. I noticed today the great Shane Warne is releasing a fragrance. Now, this is in your wheelhouse, Duck. It's called SW23. What aftershave are you currently wearing? We'll start with you, Duck.
Well, what one did I put on this morning, actually? I just put on Million.
Right.
Million.
How would you describe the fragrance?
An oldie but a goodie. Well, you can smell it from there.
You can. Actually, you can smell duck when you leave Port Melbourne typically before you arrive.
I do go a little overboard, but you do know my favourite of all time is Desire by Dunhill.
How many squirts?
15 to 20.
Ross, are you an aftershave man?
Yeah, I wear a little bit.
What do you go with?
Tom Ford. Or a Gaultier.
That's a fancy bottle. That one, you, Clarkie?
Ralph Lauren.
Brownie?
It's one of my wife's that's not yet on the market, so it'll be later in the year we're doing something in that space, Howard.
Righto. I will put myself up to ridicule here. Was him Akram, the Pakistani left arm quick, joined us on Fox Cricket last year, and he's got his own fragrance, and he brought a selection in for it, and it comes in a white cricket ball and you open it up. He took 502 wickets.
Really?
And it's called WA 502.
WA 502.
Real sort of, how do we say, musky sort of spicy arrangement.
Is this the same Wazzy Macram who Chris Judd saw in Brighton and called Wacko Eunice?
He did. He did. Called him Wacko for 5 minutes. Nathan Buckley obviously had a bit of an issue as Jay-Z brought out to us that he'd played tennis with Alicia Molik, which was against the rules. Duck, we'll start with you. No, we won't because you haven't prepared. I'll start with Brownie because he's heard the questions. Have you ever played sport or even had a kick of the footy with a well-known athlete, and who would that athlete be?
Played a game of competitive tennis, mixed doubles with Nicole Bradkey, formerly Nicole Provis, when she played tennis. So I had a poster of her up on my wall when I was younger, and yeah, played a good game of doubles with her.
How'd you go?
We won. We won the tournament. I can't remember what it was for. It was a charity thing, but myself and her won.
Duck?
Oh, because we're on the cricket theme, I played golf with Viv Richards before.
Oh,
yeah.
That's nice.
When he was over here.
How was he?
Better than me.
Right. Mm. I don't see you as a golfer.
Yeah, you're right.
Roscoe?
No, nothing that springs to mind, Howie.
Clarkey?
Played a game of basketball against Scotty Pendlebury. I somehow scored the first point, and you sort of seen the look of disgust and shock on his face. He then went and scored the next 10 straight points, including a three-pointer with his eyes closed to win. So I didn't score after
that's
the first
not bad. The Olympics should be on at the moment.
Did you played with
him? Through work, I've had the opportunity to do a few things like that. I once had a wood chopping competition with the great Dee Foster out of Hobart. Oh, yeah. Yep. And I had me Dunlop volleys on. Played a bit of golf with Ian Baker Finch as well, yeah, which was a really good day.
Well, you play golf with a lot of golfers.
Yes.
You know, Ian Botham and
Viv
all
Richards
that.
Is a good one, though.
Yeah. Well, I said Viv because I know that
yeah,
you love your West Indies.
He came in, remember? We did Dead Set Legends, and he came in one
That's
day.
That's right.
Viv Richards came in.
He did too.
How good was
you
that?
You are known as a bit of a name dropper, aren't you?
Well, when you operate in the circles I do, it's sort of hard not to mention your general friends, Nate, that are on a pretty high global level. I know you stick to your little suburban bogan game of footy, but those of us that work on a higher level, that's sort of the way we roll. The Olympics should be on at the moment. Last weekend was going to be the opening ceremony. Unfortunately, it wasn't, Clarkie. If you could choose, what would be your best Olympic event? Compared to the entire planet, which one would you be highest up the rankings on?
Greco-Roman wrestling. Pretty tenacious on the mat, Howie.
Greco-Roman wrestling. What about you, Noodles?
Not much left of the imagination when you wear those tight suits, is there, in the wrestling? Table tennis.
Table tennis. Yeah, are you pretty good, are you?
Yeah, I like table tennis.
Okay.
Got a double-handed backhand in table tennis as well.
And you get them on the
It's hard work, but I played the head of Planet Shakers Church not that long ago, and he's got this special ball that spins more than the balls I use, and he cleaned me up.
Did he?
Yeah.
Double-handed. You must either have small hands or a big paddle, one of the two, Nathan.
A bit of both.
Okay. Ross?
Well, actually, there's an ad that I really like. It's the Splash Brothers synchronized diving. I think I might be able to fill one of those roles.
Off the 10-metre tower, ducky boy.
Well, the 4, the 15. No, I'm only joking. I'd probably the boxing, maybe.
The boxing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't win a medal. But
the fact that he has to say I wouldn't win a medal at the end of it means he's on pretty... No, Duck, you wouldn't win a medal. It's an Olympic event, mate. Do you think we really thought you'd win a medal?
What makes you so confident?
I just don't think you'd medal, mate.
What I will say, Howard, is every time you hear about other clubs and the boxing regime that goes on there, and every time that comes to North Melbourne, people say you do not want to get in the ring with Duck. So he knows he's very good at it, but scary good in the ring, they reckon, Duck.
Do you think he needed to preface it by saying, I don't think I'd win a medal?
the way he's looking at you, I think he wanted to point that out.
Final one. Lockdown, obviously, we just heard Melbourne's going in a lot more. I think we've had enough of watching TV. There's been too much TV, too much screens. Book reading is, I'm a big member of the library. I love the library. What's the last book you read or what are you currently reading, Ross?
I'm currently reading Barracuda by Chris
Salakis. Yeah. About the swimmers.
Yeah, well,
good one. From,
yeah, working class, the swimming, the private schools. Yeah,
nice. Enjoying it. Duck?
Yeah, good question. I actually went through a phase where I was reading a lot of books. I love autobiographies. Probably I read Agassiz. Killing Pablo is a very, very, very good book. I like true crime. But I'll say Killing Pablo, but it wasn't my last. But I'd recommend go out and get it. It's about Pablo Escobar.
How did it end?
Well, Not good for Pablo.
Without giving it away.
Called killing Pablo.
Correct. Brownie, a great intellectual that you are.
I just finished a book by Andrew Gross called The Last Brother, and it centers around, it's in New York, early 1900s, and they were part of the garment trade, and then the unions came in and wanted to control it all, so there's a lot of killing and there's a lot of underhanded called? Stuff. The Last Brother. So there's okay. three brothers, and he is obviously the last brother in the end, but it's a very good read.
Clarky.
Flea's autobiography, The Red Hot Chili Pepper.
Oh, you're going to say Dale Waitman.
No, it's pretty wild.
Yeah, I've read that. That's a good book.
Yep.
All right, we might take a quick break here.
What about you, Howie?
We'll get to Tim's in a moment. I read a lot.
My Low and Otis?
No, I'm reading one at the moment called Beyond Recall, but it's just a fiction book. I do read a lot of books. We are about to be joined by a senior coach, which we always appreciate on game days, of course, in charge of the GWS Giants. Leon Cameron is on the line. Good afternoon to you, Leon. How are you going?
G'day, Howie. How's things?
Oh, well, how are things with you? When did you get the tap on the shoulder, so to speak, from the AFL coach that you had to relocate to Queensland, and how long did you get to pack your bag and get on the road?
Yeah, it's been an interesting week. Tuesday night was probably sort of late, about 7:30, 8 o'clock, and so then we sort of informed the players about half past 9 that night that we would be definitely going. We had some sort of inclination that day, but... Yeah, we've sort of packed the bags. We were up here for 8 or 9 days and then we're off to Perth. Clearly, we knew about the Perth hub, a couple of weeks ago.
I always leave something, Leon. I seem to travel a bit with work, especially over the summer. I like to take my pillow with me noodles. I always leave it at home and it destroys me. Did you get everything in the bag, coach? Is there anything you've left behind? You've gone on, no.
No, all good. Kids tried to jump in there, but couldn't take them. No, it's all good. Well, look, We've settled up here. We've been up here for three nights now. So we're staying in Brisbane with the Swans, and we've just arrived down here on the bus to take on the Suns.
So Kaz was happy for you to pack your bags up and get out, Leo?
Yes, yeah, exactly right. No, a bit of peace and quiet at home for her. So, but yeah, no, look, we, you know, like everyone else, has had to do it. It's our turn now, and we look forward to the opportunity.
So, Leon, Ross here. Just in the context of the season, we look around, there was the hub, the challenges, West Coast. If you look at the premiership favourites, West Coast and Richmond really struggled. But I suppose we say they've awakened, and we see you guys in that category, and we acknowledge the challenges. How far away do you think you really are from awakening a powerful Giants team, and what do you think you need to fix for that to happen?
Yeah, it's a really good question, Ross. There's no doubt. No doubt. When we resumed after that round one game, we were a bit off our tucker, and I thought our effort in games was off the mark. You know, when we took on the Kangaroos and we played the Bulldogs, rounds 2 and 3, and then you could clearly see we're a little bit off the mark, and we've probably been grinding away for about 5 or 6 weeks, improving some areas and then letting ourselves down in others. We've just started to get back a little bit of speed back in our side in Williams and Taranto, and there's a couple to come back in the coming weeks. But today's a huge day for us, Ross. That's a massive day because, we probably played 2.5 quarters last week against Richmond, but it's just not going to cut it, and we need to improve. Clearly, our inside 50s is not going to get it done, and, for us to be 0-8 in the inside 50 count shows that, A, we're not locking in there, but B, our contested ball and our stoppages. This has been better the last couple of weeks, but for the first 6 rounds, which we sort of hung our hat on for the last 3 or 4 years, hasn't been up to standard.
And, Bakes, you're coming up against a side that's playing some exciting footy, a young team. Where do you think they've improved?
Oh, I mean, their pressure count's enormous. I think they're ranked in the top 2 or 3 in the league. And when they get the ball in there, they lock it in there. Their front half pressure is awesome. We're going to be under the pump down there, so we've got to make sure we make good decisions. But we've got to be on our toes when the ball comes out. And last week we played Richmond. I think we're stuck in there for about 7 or 8 minutes similar. We'd bang it back out and then it'd come back in. So our forwards have got to be on our toes and be ready for cutting for that surge. So we've got to deal with that pressure. But equally, I think we've got to take our opportunities when we go forward. They're a young back line, and we've got to make sure our forward line really gets some good looks today.
Leo, you touched on the inside 50s. You're the number one once you get the ball in there to score. It seems like a pretty easy equation to get the ball in more. What have you identified as to why you're not getting the ball in there as much as you should be?
Yeah, it's not one thing. Brownie. I think it's a number of things. I mean, clearly, if you're getting in there and scoring well, we're probably trying to be too perfect at times. There was a period last week where we've probably skipped away by about three or four goals against Richmond. Our next five entries, we tried to be too perfect. They were shallow. We go down the other end and it hurts us. So there's a little bit of that. I mentioned the contested ball in the past couple of weeks. It's got better. But we weren't winning the hunt and our stoppage numbers were down. And so that, you know, you're going 50 metres the opposition's way, then 50 metres our way. And probably their biggest area of improvement is just our repeats. We need to lock it in there. And, you know, our field positioning when it's going inside 50 has been lacking at times or inconsistent. And so we've sort of been used the last 9 days to, you know, hopefully get that right tonight.
Leon, it's Jay Clark here. It's interesting, that forward half discussion for you guys, because you've got at your disposal some incredibly talented and offensively gifted players. We're talking about Toby Green, Jeremy Cameron, Himmelberg, Finlayson. How do you go with that balance of trying to coach really talented offensive players to be ruthless in their defensive intent?
Yeah, it's a really good challenge, Jay. I'm not going to say it's easy. For all the talent in the offensive side of it, you know, that defensive has fluctuated. And, you know, then you've got to look at balance and you've got to put it back on to get the right balance. And having guys like, you know, Langdon and De Boer and some really great role players down there complement that offensive flair. We probably haven't had that as much this year because through injury or through form. But that's a cop-out also. Our guys need to make sure they're playing two-way footy. And it's always a great challenge when, you know, you do bring in some exciting guys that like putting it through the big sticks. But, you know, that's where we're at. We need to make sure we need to buy into it, because if we don't, you know, the ball gets down the other end pretty goddamn quick.
Coach, we appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and the GWS Giants today.
Good on you guys. Thanks for your time.
Nice to speak to Leon Cameron. Two takeaways from that interview for me, Brownie. One, that Harry's changed his name to Himmelberg. Which I always enjoy when you get a mid-career.
You really mixed it up,
name
didn't you?
Change. Hey? Such a good question to that point.
Yeah,
well, it was such a good question. My other main takeaway was our man Ross, who came in here we were a bit scared of early. He sat next to Duck now for 8 weeks. And Duck has a great ability when he asks a question and someone says on air to him, that's a good question, to really get a bit of strut about. Mm-hmm, yeah. Ross got the good question and he stood up and it was like, what do you think about that, didn't he?
Yeah, he almost zipped his Fred Perry jacket up.
He did.
I thought I could hit Leon was rolling his eyes at the other end.
No.
It was an ironic laugh.
You've been
I'll explain it to you too long.
Time for our favourite quiz.
Palmer and proving you're smarter than your mates. It's the Sunday Rubs pub quiz.
Potner Palmer, for those living in Melbourne at the moment, sound pretty nice after stage four restrictions just been announced, but we'll try and get up and move on from that. It has flattened us a little bit, to be honest. Duck, hopefully everyone that's listening can get through what is potentially the next 6 weeks. We'll get into the quiz. Might have to lift the boys up a bit. All right, test your buzzers. Clarkie.
JJ.
Brown. Ross.
Okay, Jay-Z's on two wins, Duck and Nath are one. So Ross hasn't had a win yet.
Well, I might be put into hibernation. I'm keen, I'm pumped, I'm psyched. I'm
okay,
ready.
Good. Go. Nath, last time with a record-breaking 10-point win. Here we go. Ooh. General knowledge.
Worth 2 points.
Robbie Gray's kick after the siren to St Carlton last week was the 50th game in VFL AFL history won by a goal after the siren. I will name a player who has kicked a goal after the siren to win a game. You need to tell me which team they beat. Nice question, Will.
Ross.
Yes.
Richmond.
No.
Duck.
Yes.
Hawthorn.
Oh,
no.
What are you doing?
A. Gary Buchanan.
Bram.
Yes.
Melbourne.
Correct. In a final.
That was silly by you, blokes.
part B of the question. Billy Brownless.
Duck. That was against the Bulldogs.
It was. Footscray.
That's quick.
Justin Longmuir.
Ross.
Brown.
Ross.
Yes, Ross.
St Kilda.
It was. Nice, Roscoe. D, Carmichael Hunt.
JJ.
Ross.
JJ.
Richmond.
It was. Up in Cairns, was it?
Yep.
E, this is a good one. Luke Shute.
JJ.
Whoa, Clarkie's up.
Port Adelaide.
Yes, that was in a final as well, wasn't it? Jay-Z, nice start. Leads 2 to the rest of the boys. 1. Blast in the past. Following persistent wrestling between ruckman Peter Moore and Gary Dempsey at centre bounces during the 1979 preliminary final between Collingwood and North Melbourne, Duck. Yes.
They put a line through
the
centre circle.
They did. What did the VFL introduce in 1980? A line through the centre circle. Nice, Duck. Cryptic name game. I like these ones. Which Port Adelaide player shares his surname with a city in Texas?
Bram.
Yes.
Ross. Yes. Houston.
He has a problem. Correct. One to Ross. Which former Port Adelaide and Western Bulldogs player shares his surname with a city? This is a bit obscure, Will. This is real obscure. Which former Port Adelaide and Western Bulldogs player shares his surname with a city in Alabama?
Bram.
Yes.
Nathan Eagleton.
Eagleton, Alabama. No. Sounds right, but not.
No. Ross.
Yes.
The big guy, can't remember his name.
The big guy can't remember his name, Alabama. No, I don't think you boys will get this, unless you want to have a quick crack. No. Brett Montgomery. No. So Montgomery, Alabama. That's a tough one. Guess the year. In this year, Nick Riewoldt played his 200th game for St Kilda in round 3. The Gold Coast Suns played their first home game at the newly renovated Metricon Stadium in round 10.
JJ.
Yes.
Oh, newly renovated.
Yes.
2000. Stuff this up. 14.
No.
And Bram.
Yes.
2013.
No.
Ross. 2012.
No. Hang on, Duck. And Geelong won the premiership.
Ooh.
Duck.
Yes. Nick Riewoldt, his 200th game.
Yeah.
Gold Coast Suns' first game in the renovated Metricon Stadium.
Okay. Yeah. I'll say 11.
It was. Just got a soft spot.
Why did you say hang on? What did you give him the rest of the...
Well, I just got a soft spot for my mate.
He ducked in.
No, I didn't. I didn't, actually.
I just sort of understand the dynamic of the show, and the man that I can afford to get offside the least is Duck. Audio round. Which game is being played here?
Handball spills in turn to Higgins. Through the middle of the ground they go.
Stop the audio. Yes.
Well, that's North Melbourne.
No. Continue with the audio.
Handball spills in turn to Higgins. Through the middle of the ground they go. Boak's got it. Handball over the top to the smooth moving Kelly. Beautiful presentation. Can he turn Shepherd around? Inside out. The snapping ball. The superstar.
Bram.
Yes.
It was West Coast up against...
No.
Richmond.
So there's about 8 different players from various clubs named in that little...
JJ, yeah. State of Origin game.
Oh. Fire Relief game, Victoria versus the All-Stars.
That's where I got... Yeah,
yeah, that's sort of... Now, this is your area, Duck. Sponsor watch. I will name the old sponsor for a stadium. You need to tell me what ground it is, the old sponsor. Which ground used to be called a Colonial?
Brown.
Oh.
Eddie had stayed.
No, yes, Marvel.
It's
Marvel.
Yes,
he got it wrong.
Same place. Yeah. Ooh, Part B, this place used to be called Shell Stadium. JJ.
Oh, what?
Down in Geelong. Kidding your
part. It is. J leads 4. Ducks on 3. Other boys are on 2. C, Skoda.
Okay. Giant Stadium.
Nath, yes it is. Giant Stadium. Tightening up. Hey, it's all right, big boy. It's all right, Wayne. Wayne, right. Okay.
He's got roid rage over there.
Roid rage.
He's jabbing it in. There's no gym to go to.
You're an idiot.
Which former professional tennis player were Nathan Buckley and Brett Mullick?
Alicia Mullick.
Oh, hang on. That was Ross.
Oh, what? You can't just try and even it up.
Ross.
Well, they yelled that much, I couldn't even hear the question.
Bad luck.
Which former tennis player were Nathan Buckley and you were saying?
Alicia Mullick.
That's right, Ross.
How rude you guys.
He was not really tightening up. But he's just sort of...
I don't think he said anything.
He's that sort of senior citizens type. He's just got to throw him a bone every now and then, mate, because he just drifts off into sort of real senior territory. You're trying to tell me he's going to coach again. He's not going to know his own name, Nathan.
He's waiting for Mash to come on.
A little cup of tea and a scotch finger. That's what Ross is for. Bonus point. What was Mullick's highest career singles ranking? Duck. I'm going to give a nearest to the pin here.
4.
Brown. 15.
Ross?
12.
16.
It was 8, so that's halfway between Ross and Duck. So you boys get half a point each. So this is getting...
Senior citizen card.
get a bonus.
Get a little bonus. Nate's on three. Jay-Z's on three. Ross in the retirement home's on 3.5. And Duck's on 3.5. Okay, now it's right open for grabs here. All right, who am I? One guess, you can't guess again. 5 points. I was born April 19th, 1982, and retired from the AFL last season.
Oh, hang on. Can you start again? I was just reading.
I was born April 19th, 1982, yeah, and retired from the AFL last season. I am a premiership player from a Victorian club.
Brown.
Brown for the win.
Luke Hodge.
Incorrect. And I am currently an assistant coach.
Duck.
Jay Clark.
Sean Greig.
Duck.
Is correct. Clarkie wins it. Well done, Jay-Z. Quick break here. Jay-Z got some more news coming up next.
Yep.
Got a little teaser for me as Mash gets a run.
Talk about the Saints.
Ross is just getting his hot water bottle and his crocheted little blankie, and he's ready to go as we lead up to the Gold Coast taking on the GWS Giants.
I'd like to put in a protest on the quiz before.
Which question?
I just had a look at the date of birth that you read out for Who Am I. 1982 seems very old for Sean Greig. That would have him being 38. I don't think Sean Grigg's 38. So I think that's misleading, and unfortunately,
he's meant to be 88.
He just can't be 38.
Right. So that means the result's null and void.
No,
I would have thought so.
This is sort of real Dennis Connor and the New York Yacht Club style stuff.
You've got to get it right, Howard. If you're going to run a quiz, make sure your questions are right.
Well, if I wrote the questions, now I don't like to pass the blame, but that's Will, our producer, that does this.
Yeah.
That's all right, Will. Have you got anything to say for yourself? No, he's got nothing to say.
To be fair, though, Howie, I mean, when you've already won two quiz championships, I mean, what's a third?
That's true.
Take it off me if you want.
Yeah, that's true. Now, Guru, I watched the football last night, and I enjoyed the football last night. It was a nice game of footy, and I enjoyed seeing Nick Natanui in the middle when the game was on the line, just tap it to himself, pick it up, run, and belt it inside 50. There's not many better sights in the modern game than seeing the big boy in action.
He was outstanding, and it comes only 2 or 3 weeks after he was branded lazy, unfit and fat, I think, by one of his opponents in Riley O'Brien from Adelaide. But it is quite clear that he can be extremely influential for the West Coast side, especially in an on-ball division. If it's not the best, it's certainly right up there. They got off to a rocky start, West Coast. But are they the team to beat now, Ross, with Nick Nat and Tim Kelly firing?
I was on them at the start of the year. So they got the key forwards, key backs, no McGovern. Nick Nat building every week, and they're as good a midfield as there is in the competition. So, and they're going to get a run like they have been of home games. So they're every chance.
So how do you beat them? Geelong appeared to hold the ball off them to try and limit the number of stoppages. In the end, Nick Nat to Kennedy flying past the snap that was help seal them. But how do you overcome?
I don't think it was drilled linked to. So that's how Geelong play. I thought they controlled the ball. And then, but they got him out the bat on the paddock, not dissimilar to how Collingwood got them in the grand final early. And then they rolled a seventh defender in. I think they're better. I think if you look at Geelong, I'm Geelong. I'm bullish on Geelong. And but no Ablett, no Selwood, and Jack Stephen not playing. So, and no bona fide ruckman. I thought Radicalea started it really well. Blykov's in there. They become vulnerable and non-competitive in the ruck. And around goal is dangerous. So, I think they're really beatable. I think they have moments. What they do is they make you pay off turnover with their skill level. They are so highly skilled.
Mm.
And Kelly's given them a different dimension inside. He's so clean around the stoppage and Nick Nat. So they're beatable. I don't see them as an unbeatable team, but they got at their best, they can get it done.
Here's Chris Scott on Nick Natanui after the game last night.
The problem with kicking goals against West Coast is the ball goes back to the middle. So, you know, and he showed it from the first one. Like, as I said, it's certainly not disparaging remarks of the guys that competed against him in the hoops tonight. It's just a fact. When he's really on, no one in the competition, especially with the centre bounce rules, you know, I'm not saying he can't compete with him, but we've just got great respect for the champion he is.
I'm not sure if you gentlemen noticed, but my man Brad Shepherd, very good again.
Mm.
After I was, over him last
he was
week.
Maybe 16th best.
Oh, come on, Ross.
But just on Geelong, Chris Scott at the minute has a problem in there. They're ranked before that game 18th on differential for scores out of the middle. So they don't want to see it going back to the middle against anyone with respect at the minute.
Mm.
that's the area they need to fix because they've got everything else going really well.
West Coast is a team to beat for me. And I'm like Ross, I said at the start of the year, and even though they lost a few games early in the hub, I never jumped off. They were automatically going to improve because the man we've been speaking about, having a full pre-season. And so Nick Nat, Kelly, the improvement of Oscar Allen.
Shepherd.
Yep, Shepherd. So they were the team to beat at the start of the year for me, and they still are.
Brownie, who is the All-Australian ruckman at this stage? Is it Nick Nat or my man Gawn? Or who would you have as the best ruckman in the competition to this?
Tell you what, Big Goldie, even though they're playing in a losing side at the moment, I think has been very, very good as well. It's not Grundy. Mm-hmm. I'd have to say the most in-form ruckman over the course of 8 or 9 games that we've played now is probably Max Gawn. But Nat Newey's,
remember?
Nat Newey's last 3 to 4 weeks have been breathtaking.
Nick Nat's very different to Gawn and also, obviously, Grundy and also Goldstein. Goldstein, those three in particular, they get a lot of the ball. Nick Nat has an influence without getting... I wrote an article many years ago. He's the Cyril Rioli of ruckman. He does not need to have a lot of the ball to have a massive influence on the game.
Gawn's taps don't result in as many goals as what West Coast do, and Melbourne don't have the forward structure that West Coast do to kick those goals as well. So you're getting more bang for your buck from the taps coming from Nick Nat.
The recruit of the season, how we know about to finish off,
yeah,
is,
right, mate.
Is it Dan Butler? He leads the competition in forward 50 tackles. I think he had a career high 7 last night as St Kilda continues to firm for a final spot. Who's the recruit of the season, boys? If you just quickly.
I think Kelly's coming with a rush.
Tim Kelly, Jack Martin.
Zach Jones will go close.
Jack Martin's a good call.
Girl. Yeah, Martin's a good call. Butler's a good call. And I agree, Kelly will end up being.
Ross Lyon's been a pretty good recruit. Yeah. Recruiter too on the end.
Media performer of the year.
We might take, well, that's normally the one.
How long we got him for?
Trophy. Well, according to you, probably about round 16.
When did you say Goody's contract?
Oh, yeah.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.